we'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein trespasses and sins, in time past, before you were quickened, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, that is, the children of disobedience, also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. 2 weeks ago today, I preached from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 13. We looked at the spiritual biography of a child of God. In that message, we noticed where and what we were in our unsaved condition. That's brought out in verses 1 through 3 and summarized in verse 12. We also notice that verse 4 begins a transition point in our spiritual biography, a transition point in our lives. And that transition point is indicated by the first two words, but God. But God. Those two words introduce the greatest and most meaningful event of my life, of your life, if you're saved. But God. Those two words introduce something momentous, something very, very consequential, something extraordinary, incredible, and wonderful. But God. Those two words introduce the greatest of all miracles, the greatest of all God's works, the salvation of a sinner. The transition point from the hopelessness and the helplessness and the misery of verses 1 through 3, again, are those two words. But God. But God. Those words ought to get our attention. They are words that speak of divine intervention. They are words that remind us that we ought to focus upon who He is and what He does. They are words of great expectation. When you see those two words, but God, those are words of expectation. Those are words of encouragement. Those are words of excitement. Those are words of meditation. We ought to stop and we ought to meditate upon those two words. But God. I mean, I can view my whole life, and I can review my whole life, but God. That is something wonderful to meditate upon. But God. They are words that ought to prompt us to worship. They are words that ought to cause us to fall down and worship Him. They are life-altering words. They are foundational words. You can build your life upon these two words. But God. Again, they are the transitional point of the spiritual biography of the child of God. Verses 1 through 3, and again it's summarized in verse 12. But following verses 1 through 3, which is a description of the most dreadful, the most alarming, the most grim, the most dangerous, the most pressing, the most urgent time of my life are described in verses 1 through 3. But then I come to those two words, but God. And that changes everything. You see, my life and the life of all those who are saved did not end in Ephesians 2, verse 3. And the only reason it did not end in Ephesians 2, verse 3 is but God. That's the reason. I would still be in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. But God. You see, before the Lord saved my soul, before He saved you, I lived in God-forbidden behaviors. I lived in opposition to and defiance of God. Before salvation, we lived in the filth and the vileness of sin. We lived a life of confusion, disorder, chaos, and misery. We lived a life of disgrace, a life of destitution, a life of defeat. Our lives were painful, our lives were empty, and our lives were destructive. And our lives were mired and ensnared and bound in sin. But my story doesn't end there. My life does not end there. For I read those two words, but God. But God. Things are different from what they were. And here's why. But God. I was born in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. I lived in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And I would have died there. But God. A miraculous change has taken place. An alteration has taken place. A transformation has taken place. A transfer and a relocation has taken place. And the reason? But God. But God. Those are wonderful words. Again, while I was living in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, and also verse 12, I heard God's invitations from time to time, and I rejected every one of them. I heard of Jesus Christ, and I refused Him. But things are different from what they were. The reason? But God. You see, I lived in the chains and in the bondage of sin, wasting my life with the abominable ways of the world, dwelling, standing, sitting, walking in darkness, and in the sewer of fallen humanity. But things are different from what they were. The reason? But God. But God. Between who I was and who I am now, is but God. The difference between who I am now and what I will be is but God. There's the reason. That's what makes the difference. Between where I was and where I am now, and the difference between where I was headed then and where I am headed now is but God. But God. For you and I that are saved, those two words are life-changing words. Those two words are eternity-changing words. And they tell a story. They not only tell a story of my past, but they tell a story of how we now ought to live. Ought to live always thinking, always considering, but God. Those two words ought to always be on my mind. Those two words ought to enter every equation. But God. I always kept an index card, changed it out several times through the years, but always kept an index card on my desk with those two words. But God. Just to remind me every day. But God. Then my good friend Tyler got a piece of wood about that big and got a wood burning set and burned in that piece of wood, but God. So I don't have the index card anymore. I have that piece of wood on my desk reminding me every day, but God. And that's what we want to preach upon this morning. We've preached this subject many times in many different ways. But God. That ought to be the lens through which we view life. That ought to be the lens through which we view circumstances and situations. That ought to be the lens through which we view people. But God. There are people that you and I do not care to be around. But God can change them. God can change us. Consider that phrase, but God. The word but is a conjunction. What that means is it is a word that connects. It is a word that connects words or a group of words. So the word but is a joining word. It is a connecting word. You think of a conjunction as glue. It connects. The word but is the glue. Verse 4 begins with that word but. And prior to that, we read of a condition of helplessness. We were dead in trespasses and sins. A condition of hopelessness. A condition of misery. And then in verse 4, we read of God. But between God and our miserable condition, we have the glue. But. When you glue the helplessness, the hopelessness, and the misery of man together with God, everything's different. Everything changes. So that little word, but. Oh, what a word. What a wonderful word. The conjunction but also conveys the idea of on the other hand. In other words, it is a word of negation. It means that God nullifies, reverses, and overrules what goes before. Ephesians 2:3 closes with the fact that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then verse 4 opens with, on the other hand, God. In other words, God overrules and reverses the helplessness, the hopelessness, and the misery of our unsaved condition. But God, it changes everything. Changes everything. Now, the phrase, but God, means very, very little to nothing if you do not have a proper view of God. The phrase, but God, means very, very little if you have but a small view of who God is. Now, you'll notice verse 4 says, the first four words of verse 4, but God who is. And that's true every day. Because He is who He is every single day. It does not change. But God who is. So consider who God is. And when you consider who God is, when you consider the God that is presented in this book, those two words, but God, are glorious words, encouraging words. God is absolute. That is, His reality and His certainty is never threatened. We live in a time when our government is systematically eliminating God from every aspect of society. But I want you to know the existence, the reality, and the certainty of God is never threatened. Because God is absolute. God is sovereign. That is, He reigns supreme. If you don't believe that God reigns supreme, then why in the world would you pray? God is sovereign. He reigns supreme. What do we mean by that? We simply mean that He has absolute authority. He has absolute all control over all things, over all matters, in every realm, at all times, throughout eternity. He is above all. He is over all. He is in control of all. He manages all. He directs all. He guides all. He governs all things. And He does these things as He pleases. When He pleases. In other words, God is in complete control of what happens. He's in complete control when it happens. He is in complete control of how it happens, and He is in complete control why it happens, and He is in complete control what happens after it happens. He is sovereign. He reigns. When you look at God in that light, but God changes everything. God is almighty. That means He has all might. That means His power reaches to all things. That means He is able. To say that God is almighty is to say that God can. God is all-knowing. That is, His knowledge is infinite. His knowledge is perfect. His knowledge is eternal. It is distinct. It is infallible. It is independent. God does not gain His knowledge from any other source. An independent knowledge. He's never confused. He's never in a quandary. Being almighty and all-knowing means that God can and he knows how. And that's always so. God is everywhere present. Nothing is more present than God. You take all your troubles. You take all your circumstances. And yes, they're real. And yes, they're present. But nothing is more present than God. Because God fills all. He fills all. When you look at God in this light, those two words, but God, communicate a very powerful and all-encompassing message. Today, in modern Christendom, God is presented as helpless. They don't come out and say God is helpless. But that's how he's presented. He's presented as a helpless being whose hands are tied by the will and ways of man. When someone makes a statement, God wants to, but man will not let him, my friend, that presents God as helpless. That presents God with his hands tied by the will and ways of man. God is presented today as an object of pity. I mean, if you listen to most messages today, you would walk away feeling sorry for God. Because God wants to make things different, but he can't. God is presented as disappointed, as frustrated, as dissatisfied, in control of nothing, and who is defeated. However, the Word of God affirms just the opposite. The God of the Bible is not helpless. He's almighty. He's not an object of pity. He's an object of awe. He is not frustrated. He is not defeated. He is working all things after the counsel of his own will, ruling and reigning over all. We read in our text, but God who is, and in light of those two words, but God, in light of who he is, but God, thunder forth this truth, God is the final word. It's not just God has the final word, that's true. God is the final word. God is the final word. Now consider this phrase, but God, in light of our lives, you and I that are saved. Again, the turning point of our lives begin with but God. And from that point forward, we ought to live in the reality of but God. We ought to, that ought to be our mainstay. That ought to be our foundation. Oh, there are many times we don't know what to do. We don't know when to do it. But God. But God. That ought to be our mainstay. That ought to be our foundation. That ought to be the lens through which we view everything. Don't leave God out of the picture now. The greatest thing that ever happened to you was the salvation of your soul. And it began with, but God. So don't leave God out of the picture now. But view everything through this lens, but God. View nothing as independent from God. Again, that word but is a connecting word. View nothing as independent from God. If your world seems out of control and haphazard, view it through the lens of, on the other hand, God. Or, but God. If things are upside down in your world, remember and let it be your mainstay and foundation. But God. But God can nullify, reverse, overrule whatever needs to be. But God. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how bad it might appear, and no matter whether it be day or night and whatever may come, look at everything through the lens of but God. Don't leave Him out of the picture. But God. Again, this ought to be our foundation. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We live in the sphere of rebellion and resistance against God. We live in a world filled with opposing forces. We live in a world filled with barriers. We live in a world filled with fortifications and obstacles to all that is godly. We live in a world where Satan has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is the personal enemy of each and every one of God's people. He is the very enemy of God. He is the enemy of the truth. He is the enemy of all goodness. He is the enemy of the church. He is the enemy of the home. He is an enemy, and as an enemy, he seeks to overpower us. He seeks to oppress us. Don't lose sight of but God. There's God. And God overrules everything. We not only live in a sinful world, we live in a time when we are surrounded by the powerful and draining influence of the dysfunctional. The powerful and draining influence of irreverence, of defiance and hardness and apathy toward God. We live in a time of confusion and chaos. We live in a time when the very enemies of God and all their evil intentions confront us on every side. We live in a world of constant and always present danger and threats. But remember, what Joseph declared to his brothers, in Genesis 50 and verse 20, he said, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." That changed everything. Man has evil intentions today. Our government has evil intentions today. Don't leave God out of the picture, but God. Concerning David, we read that Saul sought to kill him in 1 Samuel 23 and 14. Saul sought to kill him every day, but God delivered him not into his hands. Didn't matter what the intentions of Saul were, because God overrules. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, we read of unreasonable and wicked men. And in the very next verse, we read, "But the Lord is faithful." Oh, may we learn to view everything through the lens of but God. Oh, that we would learn not to listen to the lies or be swayed by the lies and the derogatory words of the enemy. But that we would view all their intentions and all their agendas and all their philosophies and all of their ideas and all of their ways through the lens of but God. It changes everything. In light of the evil intentions of Satan in the world, an evil man, do not leave God out of the picture. Review your life. How many times we would have been devoured by that which is sinful? We have been utterly devoured by that which is wicked, twisted, and corrupt. But God. But God. The reason we are here today worshiping God goes back to but God. But God. If you have a home that's in order, it goes back to but God. If your life is in spiritual order, it goes back to but God. And may I say, if you have a home that is not in order, and if you have a life that is not in order, don't forget, but God! He can nullify, He can reverse. He can overrule. Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. We have temptations. We have testings. We have trials. But God is faithful. You see, we find ourselves as God's people in places and times of great need, many times with no sign of provision in sight. At times we find ourselves in trials and sufferings, in difficulties and tribulations. And at times these appear to be unending. We find ourselves at times in problems that appear to have no solution. In impossibilities. We find ourselves many times in overwhelming pressures. In anguish. In distress. In confusion. In disappointment, in turmoil. At times we are surrounded by disturbance and disruption. At times we find ourselves in anxiety and uncertainty and fears. We find ourselves in battles and struggles, face to face with intimidating giants and innumerable foes. Find ourselves at times in darkness and loneliness and discouragement and defeat. At times we walk in valleys that are very deep and very foggy. At times we are in very dismal places. And again, at times these places seem to be endless. At times we're upon crooked and rocky roads. We find ourselves in sorrow, in heartache, with no remedy in sight. We find ourselves in the midst of storms. And as you look around, there doesn't seem to be a break in the clouds anywhere. At times we find ourselves in empty desert places. And there appears to be no way out. We may find ourselves in prisons. They can be prisons of our own making. But we find ourselves in prison with no release in sight. We find ourselves in weakness. We find ourselves in weariness with no relief in sight. We find ourselves at times in terrible condition with no signs of improvement. Weighted down with burdens, weighted down with cares. But in light of all these things, and come what may, remember, but God who is. But God who is. He is God. And as such, He prevails over all of these things. He excels all of these things. He is God. He is larger than all of these things. He is bigger than all of these things. He is of longer duration than all of these things. But God, who is. Oh, that we would learn to view everything through the lens of but God. He's our rock. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our shield. He's our help. He's our support. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our shepherd. And He's our friend. Oh, what wonderful words. But God. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, view it through the lens of but God. For He can change, He can alter, and He can transform any circumstance, any situation, and He can do so in an instant. Do not leave God out of the equation. All through the Bible, we read of God's people experiencing wonderful miracles. And every now and then you'll hear someone say, oh, wouldn't it have been great to see that? Open your eyes. It happens every day. We read of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. I've crossed the Red Sea many times. We read of the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River. We've crossed it many times. We can identify. We read of God's people being provided for in the wilderness. Manna falling down from heaven. He said, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? Oh, open your eyes. God's always raining manna down from heaven upon us. We read in Joshua of the walls of the enemy falling flat. We've experienced it many times. We read of God sparing His people in the fiery furnace. We read of the mouths of lions being shut for the sake of God's people. We read of wastelands turned into gardens. We read over and over of the restoration of things that were lost. We read of lepers being cleansed. We read of demon-possessed being liberated, of multitudes being fed with paltry means. And the origin of it all is found in those two words, but God. But God. Wherever you are today, grab unto those two words, but God. May I say, the dead sinners can still be made alive. Guilty and condemned sinners can still be pardoned. Filthy sinners can still be washed. Rebellious sinners can still be reconciled. And ungodly sinners can still be justified. And enslaved sinners can still be delivered. And lost sinners can still be found. And helpless sinners can forever be changed. And the origin of it all is found in those two words. But God. But God. You look at many lives, and unless there is a but God in their life, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be ruined. But there is hope. But God. This is where we need to place our confidence. This is what we need to depend upon. Place your confidence in Him. Depend upon Him. Be persuaded in Him. Trust in Him. Lean upon Him. Look to Him. Come to Him. Plead with Him. But God. I pray that we would go from here today holding unto those two words. But God, you may not have a care in the world at this moment. You may not have any problems. But that'll change. That'll change. You will have cares. You will have burdens. You will have sorrows. And you will have problems. But let this be your foundation. Let this be your focus. But God, don't leave him out of the picture. This is where we find faith. In every situation and every circumstance. This is where boldness is found. This is where courage is found. This is where resolve is found, where steadfastness is found. This is where we find assurance, but God. This is where we find hope. You may look all around and there's no hope in man, but God. There's hope in those two words. This is where we have conviction, but God. This is where we find passion for living lives for God. But God, you and I as God's people, when we were in the most dire state of our life, the most dire state that any human being can be in, but God changed it all. Don't forget him now. Don't leave him out of the picture now. Don't leave him out of the equation now. But God, go to Ephesians 2 verse 4. Read it every day. But God, but God, but God, who is. And it's always so. Don't ever give up hope. Don't ever throw your hands up in the air and say, what's the use? It may appear hopeless. But then there are those two words. But God. But God. It may be discouraging. But then there are those two words. But God. And everything is changed. Whatever your need is today. Whatever it is. Whether it be salvation. Or whatever. The source for all your needs is found in God. The answer is found in God. May we go from here today knowing that truth. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.